السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Radio Islam International with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on the Goodreads program, where during this holiday season, I will be talking travel through books. Now, on the last program I had, I discussed Muslim sites and places of interest in Spain, Egypt, and North Africa. But today, I invite you to join me as we take only memories and leave only footprints as we journey through Istanbul, Turkey, with some inspirational reading guaranteed to fuel your wanderlust and at the same time provide some invaluable insights for those traveling the spiritual path. So set your vacation mood to on mode and join my travelogue. And later on the Zoomspiration slot, I will be discussing reading as the way to maturity. So the book on review for today is called The Conqueror of Hearts in the Land of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, Travels in Turkey with Sheikh Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi Mujaddidi. The book was compiled by Mustafa Kemal and it was published by Maktabatu Faqir in 2011 and it was printed in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa by Interback Books. Now, we know that for most people, this time of the year means that they are in vacation mode. And if that be the case, we also know that Turkey has become the destination of choice of late. And what could be better than equipping yourself with bags of knowledge prior to setting out on your dream vacation? I'll be honest with you, as far as travel books are concerned, this one is unique and really worth reading before you actually visit Turkey. Essentially, it is a travelogue which details Sheikh Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi Mujaddidi's travels in Turkey. Now, for those who are not in the know, Sheikh Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi Mujaddidi is one of the leading shuyukh of the tasawwuf in the present era. Formerly granted ijaza in the Naqshbandi tariqah, he retired from his position as an electrical engineer at the age of 40 to devote himself entirely to the service of Islam. He regularly travels to more than 30 countries, transforming the lives of people all over the world. A testament to his deep love for Allah Azza wa Jal, his uncompromising dedication to the Sunnah of the Blessed Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his firm adherence to the Sharia, is that thousands of religious scholars, students of the Islamic learning are amongst his murids. So he regularly delivers lectures in both English and Urdu across the world, and he has written dozens of books, many of which have been translated into several languages. Now, very, very aptly placed, the book opens with a quote from Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi, which reads, "A moment spent in the company of the friends of Allah is better than 100 years of sincere worship." And of course, the narrator tells us this because he is discussing now his entire visit to Istanbul in the company of his sheikh. And the foreword sets the tone and the standard to what follows in the book. And what I loved was this, and I quote, "It is an amazing fact that even today, the boundaries of the core Muslim world are largely demarcated by those lands that were blessed by the physical presence of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and the Tabi'in. Turkey is one such land that is blessed with the presence of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the story of Ishq that began with love and adab of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued until his death at the gates of Constantinople." And the author then continues in the prologue where he says that the details of this historic trip are for the benefit of our brothers and sisters who were not with us through these travels. And he quotes here Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, who once said that reading about the words and actions of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal is an army from the armies of Allah, and it benefits readers in every age. So in the pages that follow, the compiler and his friends relive the most precious moments from what he calls were truly amongst the best days of their lives. Chapter 1 is titled Day 1, and it talks about the much-anticipated arrival of Sheikh Zulfikar, who was scheduled to arrive at Atatürk International Airport, Istanbul, at 3 p.m. on Friday, October the 15th, 2010. The narrator says that he arrived a day earlier to make sure that the hotel and transportation arrangements were suitable, to stock up on basic supplies, to scope out the area, basically, you know, the area surrounding the hotels, to check out pharmacies, grocery stores, money changers, etc. And their hotel was actually very centrally located in the historic Sultan Ahmed district of Istanbul. And this is where most of the main historic sites of the city are actually located. And this is in between numerous kebab and other souvenir shops. The topic of the power of the Quran was amongst the discussion of the first sitting with the Sheikh and the other guests. And for me personally, one of my favorite stories from the Seerah is that of how Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara prior to Hijrah to teach the Quran. And what is discussed here is the, how the Quran, the emphasis that the Quran, the words of the Quran actually has on the hearts of people. And then the author tells us about, you know, after the discussions, after resting, the first excursion which occurred that night, and he called it a night tour of Istanbul. Quite a hair-raising, spine-chilling, the author also says that it was a history at every turn. So after dinner and freshening up, the group took a bus ride to see Istanbul's historical sites by night. They passed by the Dolmabahçe Palace, which served as the administrative center of the Ottoman Empire between 1856 and 1922. Because prior to that, the Ottoman Sultan and his family lived in the Topkapı Palace, a beautiful yet practical construction. However, the later Ottomans felt the need for a more luxurious and stylish, maybe a European-style palace as a sign of prosperity. And the author says here, he called it a fledgling Ottoman Empire. And his view is that this was in order to compete with the symbols of Western influence or affluence. And then after the abolition of the Ottoman, or the, as we call it, the Uthmani Caliphate in 1924, the lavish Dolmabahçe Palace became the summer residence of the President Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, the capital having been shifted to Ankara. The driver then took him over the Galata Bridge across the Golden Horn, an inlet of the Bosphorus on the European side of Istanbul, which gets its name because of its horn shape and its golden color to onlookers at sunset. The author tells us then how the group then ate dondurma, which is Turkish ice cream, known for its thickness and chewy texture. And he says that happily they returned to their hotel, they settled in for the night with smiles on their faces and immeasurable joy in their hearts at the sweet realization that indeed they were in Istanbul with their Sheikh. Day two then is called a visit to the sacred trust. And actually, I feel that this is an essential read for anyone visiting Istanbul, because it tells the reader that, how impatient the group was to see the sacred relics associated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and all on display at the famous Topkapı Palace Museum. So a history of the sacred just follows, and the author talks about the love that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma ajma'in had for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you would like to understand how these sacred relics, such as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair, tooth from the Battle of Uhud, clothing, weapons, etc., were collected and actually preserved from generation to generation, then this is the book for you. So further explanation actually teaches us how Sultan Selim the First brought with him these sacred relics from the Mamluk state, the Abbasid Khilafat, and the Hijaz region. And also on display are swords belonging to the four rightly guided Khalifs and the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the keys to the door of the blessed Kaaba and an old casing of the Hajr-e-Aswad, and even older models of the Mizab-e-Rahma. So the author then goes on to say that in all honesty, the Sheikh's visit to this museum was in fact one of the primary motivation behind his trip to Istanbul. So that was his whole purpose was to visit this museum and to see these sacred relics. And next then, in the book, the mention is made of the Panorama 1453 History Museum, which is dedicated to preserving the history of the Muslim conquest of Constantinople. And this is followed by a discussion on the significance of the conquest of Istanbul. Immediately after that follows a detailed account on the founding of the Ottoman Sultanate, the story of Osman Ghazi. And this is then followed by the story of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, rahimahumullah, and the actual conquest of Istanbul. Day 3 then talks about lessons in history along the Bosphorus. The great weather, the boat ride, along with the lessons in history, make this book I honestly could not put down. Of the Koy, Ayub Sultan, there is so much waiting for you to discover and explore in between the pages of this book. Day 4 is dedicated to Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahimahullah, and of course, here you will learn correctly about his close friendship with Shams Tabriz, and very detailed, intricate, and valuable information is shared here. Day 5 then opens with a visit to Hagia Sophia and then the Sultan Ahmed Mosque, and of course, also soon the time in Istanbul comes to an end and farewells need to be bid. So with heavy hearts, the group head to the airport, and the book concludes with this quote: "The paper is finished, the pen is finished, and we are finished, but the fable of desire is still not finished." Truly a remarkable book, which gives me just a little bit of time to share with you how reading can actually mature you. And we know that the first word that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam brought down to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was read. So this indicates that reading and research formed an important part of the Muslim's personality at the beginning of the establishment of the Islamic Ummah. And if you would like to have an open mind, clarity of vision, and acquire the companionship of a great genius people throughout history, and maybe perhaps have a view that wisdom, the type of wisdom that has been shared throughout ages and generations of different people, and in fact, if you want all of that and maybe even a bit more, then you should actually just read. So my sincere advice to you, do not let the media hijack you and take you away from reading books. But when you read, try to acquire useful and beneficial books. So in a nutshell, let's say if you're given a choice between an easy-to-read, enjoyable, easy-to-understand book and another book which is a little bit more difficult to understand and comprehend and it needs more focus, maybe more patience to read, then I advise you without any hesitation to choose the second book because you need a book to take you on a higher level, and a book cannot do that unless it's already a little higher than our level to begin with. So persist in reading your books. Plow what you read as a farmer plows his land, and underline important phrases, ideas, transcribe these into your notebooks. Try to exhaust everything in that book, and importantly, think about what you read, you know, because the information in the book will not become yours unless you actually think about what you read in the book. So quickly, 4 basic tips that I've laid out for you, and this is also from the book 50 Candles by Dr. Abdul Karim Bakr. And the first step is specify a portion of your monthly expenses to buy books and to actually set up a small library at home. Secondly, dedicate some time, maybe an hour a day, for proper, precise, and slow reading. And read the books of original writers, innovators, you know, in order that you can get the best and the most reliable type of knowledge. And lastly, if you organize your time properly, you will have ample time for reading and wide exposure. So that brings me to the end of today's program. If you would like a copy of the book that was on review today, it is available at Al Ihsan Bookshop, a wing of the Darul Ihsan Humanitarian Center, located in Sea Cow Lake and Overport, Durban, Bay Courier countrywide. Call them on 031-577-7868, WhatsApp them on 084-401-1527, or visit their website, www.alihsanbookshop.co.za. For those of you traveling this holiday, may Allah keep you safe and happy. For those who are not, remember to make your own memories as you travel through books. keep me in your du'as. مع السلامة، في أمان الله.